So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. This phrase, spoken by Jesus in Matthew 22:21, stands as one of his most profound and thought-provoking statements in all of the New Testament. But is this verse talking about more than just paying our taxes? Today we're going to explore its historical context and the spiritual implications these words have for us as his followers today. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, these words from Jesus occur during a tense encounter between Jesus and the Pharisees. They sought to trap him with a politically charged question: is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? At the time, Israel was under Roman occupation, and paying taxes to the emperor was a point of bitter resentment among the Jewish people. To affirm paying taxes might alienate Jesus from his Jewish followers, while opposing it could label him a revolutionary in the eyes of Rome. Instead of falling into their trap, Jesus asked for a denarius, a coin bearing Caesar's image, and asked a question in return: whose likeness and inscription is this? When they answered Caesar's, he delivered his famous response. At a surface level, Jesus' reply affirms the necessity of fulfilling one's civic duties. Caesar's image on the coin represents the earthly government's jurisdiction. By saying, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's," Jesus acknowledges the legitimacy of human authority in its proper sphere. This also aligns with what the Apostle Paul taught later in Romans 13:1 through 7, where he reminds believers to submit to governing authorities as instituted by God. Christians are called to respect laws, pay taxes, and contribute to the well-being of the societies in which they live. Yet Jesus does not stop there. He follows with a profound counterbalance: render unto God what is God's. To understand the weight of this statement, we must ask, what belongs to God? Well, the answer lies in the concept of the Imago Dei, the belief that human beings are created in the image of God. Just as the coin bears Caesar's image and belongs to him, we bear God's image and belong to him. Knowing this calls us to total surrender and loyalty to God. While we may owe taxes, respect, and obedience to our earthly authorities, our ultimate allegiance is to God, who claims our entire being, our hearts, minds, souls, and strength. Jesus challenges our inclination to divide life into the secular and the sacred, treating faith as a private matter disconnected from our public lives. Yet his teaching breaks down this false divide. If everything belongs to God, then every part of life, work, relationships, finances, and citizenship is sacred. Therefore, we are called to integrate faith into every sphere, rendering all things to God as an act of worship. Also, by pointing to the image on the coin and connecting it to ownership, Jesus invites us to consider whose image we bear and to whom we belong. The question of allegiance is not just about paying taxes, it's about identity and purpose. Do we see ourselves primarily as citizens of an earthly nation, or as children of God and the citizens of His kingdom? This eternal perspective should completely transform how we navigate today's worldly systems and their challenges. Jesus' teaching also underscores the transient nature of earthly power compared to God's eternal reign. Caesar's coins, empires, and systems will all pass away, but God's kingdom is everlasting. While Christians are called to engage in earthly matters responsibly, they must do so with the understanding that their ultimate hope lies in God's unshakable kingdom. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's calls us to be faithful stewards in both earthly and heavenly realms. It reminds us to honor our temporal obligations while keeping our eternal priorities in focus. As the Apostle Peter wrote, we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. This identity compels us to live in a way that glorifies God in every area of life. Ultimately, Jesus' statement is not merely a clever response to a political trap, but a profound declaration of divine truth. It reminds us that while we live in the world, we are not of it. Our citizenship is in heaven, and our lives are meant to reflect God's glory. The challenge for every believer is to discern how to faithfully render what is due to both Caesar and God, always prioritizing the eternal over the temporal. All right, your calls are next. The number to get in on the conversation today, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob Weston. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Ever wonder why Jesus so often hung out with those who were described as tax collectors and sinners? From the Pharisees' point of view, it was positively scandalous. But perhaps today, if we really thought about it, we'd feel the same. After all, Jesus is God in human flesh. He's holy, 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 and yet there he is, reclining at the dinner table with them. When the Pharisees asked Jesus why he did this, his response was, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." Jesus was with those tax collectors and sinners because he knew they needed healing. The sick really do need a doctor. And that's good news for us, because guess what? We're sinners too. And we'll see Jesus more clearly through daily time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
I'm so glad you're with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. My name is Rob West. If you're just tuning in for the first time, welcome. If you've been listening for years, we're glad you're back. Our program is dedicated to helping you navigate your financial life. Not so you can enrich yourself, although there's nothing wrong. Money is a good gift from God. We should seek to grow it over time. But really understanding that our financial journey is one of the key ways God shapes our spiritual journey. And so as stewards of God's resources, recognizing he owns it all, we want to be found faithful. Well, the purpose of this program is to help you do that. How do we do it? Well, we mine the scriptures, the significant portion of God's word dedicated to this topic on money, the big themes we see throughout the counsel of scripture. In fact, our team was working the other day. It'll be a part of our third issue of Faithful Steward, which will be out this summer. We're working on a flyover of God's word, looking at every book of the Bible and pulling out the big idea, the big theme related to money in every book, all 66 of them throughout the Old and the New Testament. It's powerful. And you begin to see kind of the big idea of God's design for money. And it's that money is a tool to accomplish his purposes, that it can compete with our hearts. And so we have to be careful to put it in its proper place. It's not an end. It's a means to an end. But it's a powerful force for good when we use it to be generous and bless others and to provide and to enjoy and also to invest, which, by the way, there's an incredible opportunity to deploy investments, capital into business, blessing its neighbors and creating human flourishing, and to do it in a way that aligns with your values at the same time you're seeking an appropriate risk-adjusted return for your portfolio to grow God's money. Well, that whole sector of investing is just exploding right now. And there's some incredible world-class investments that allow you to do just that. Well, all of those topics are what we cover each day on this program. But at the centerpiece of all of that is your question. So if you have a financial question today, we'd love to hear from you. Lines are open. We'll be taking those calls beginning here in just a moment. So call right now with your financial question, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Before we do that, in the news today, you may have noticed eggflation is out of control. Data from the commodity tracking service Expana shows that the average wholesale price of a dozen large eggs nationwide is now $8. Shoppers in major cities like New York are seeing egg prices closer to $12 a dozen or a dollar per egg. Now, why is that? Well, analysts say it's the latest round of highly infectious avian influenza. The Biden administration ordered the destruction of tens of millions of chickens last year to stop the spread of the disease. It's not clear yet how effective those measures have been in controlling avian influenza. But in the meantime, the shortage of hens means a shortage of eggs, which, of course, drives up prices. We remember quickly our days of economics 101 back in high school. Curiously, chicken prices in the grocery store are less affected since the flu bug seems to be less deadly on farms raising chickens for meat as opposed to egg-producing operations. Expect egg prices to remain high for the time being as producers scramble to get back in operation. It takes up to 6 months for newly hatched hens to begin producing eggs. So we're going to have this shortage for some time, and hopefully egg prices will start to come down. I suspect there will be an increase in those raising their own egg-producing hens in the near future if it hasn't already started. But we'll keep you posted on that. By the way, some inflation data out today, a little hotter than expected. As a result, the market is selling off. We've got the big board down, the Dow Jones off nearly 1%, although it's come back a little bit from its early open. It was down more than 400 points, now down 360. Consumer prices rose 0.5% in January, higher than expected. The annual rate is now sitting at about 3%, a little higher than it was, and that's why the market is selling off. And we'll obviously get Jerry Boyer's take on all of that on Friday when he joins us in a final segment. All right, let's dive into your questions today. Lines are open. We're ready for you. Anything financial in play today? That number, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's begin in North Carolina today. Hi, Jack. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I have a question about my daughter. She is in a huge debt with credit card. Her husband has been incarcerated and will be for the next 5 or 6 years. So naturally, that has affected her bottom line. Yeah. The credit card debt is, I understand from my daughter, to be $20,000 among 5 different cards. She has a good job. She is a manager of a bank, believe it or not, but yet with all that heavy debt, she just can't make it. And wondering if we're going to be able to consolidate and be able to do something that will cause her bottom line. In other words, she's paying, I think she said her payment is about $800 a month, and that's the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. So she's not making any headway, and you, yeah. I'm sure you know, she's probably paying what, 20-some percent probably interest on these cards. And her mother and myself are paying, well, we're really paying the debt just to make it that way. That's why I'm looking to try to help her, because we're having to make those payments.
Yes, sir. I can certainly understand that. And you're right. The average interest rate on credit cards is just shy of 24% right now, which just makes it really difficult to get out from under it. And you pay a fortune in interest. My preferred approach on something like this, Jack, once you get above $4,000, and that's just kind of the rule of thumb I've found over the years, below $4,000, it's best just to snowball it and do it yourself. Over $4,000, my preferred approach is something called debt management. It's also referred to as credit counseling. Essentially what happens, Jack, is every one of these creditors, Capital One and Citi and Bank of America and Discover, all of them have what they call a credit counseling department and a program set up. And if you work through a not-for-profit credit counseling agency, and our preferred solution for that is an organization called Christian Credit Counselors, they will drop your interest rate to the credit counseling rate for their company. Each one has their published rate. They're usually between 0 and 8%. And when you sign up with Christian Credit Counselors, then all the cards would be moved into that program. She would then, or you on her behalf, would make one payment to Christian Credit Counselors. It's probably going to be around 3% of the balance. So on $20,000 in credit card debt, that's going to run you about $600. Typically, they'll tell you exactly what it is. But the nice thing is, the combination of that level payment, the payment doesn't go down as the balance comes down. So each month you're sending a higher percentage of the outstanding balance. The level payment on top of the dramatic reduction in the interest rates allows you to pay it back 80% faster. And we've heard from thousands of our listeners that have used Christian Credit Counselors over the years, and they just have a fabulous experience. They're all Christ followers, and they're just a wonderful organization. That would be my preferred approach, because then she's not getting past due and into collections trying to settle, which would trash her credit report. She's not trying to take out a new loan to pay it off, which has fees and expenses. She's leaving it right there, and she slides it into this program. If you want to check them out, you can do that on the web at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. You can see their phone number there. Give them a call, and they'll get you set up. Let's do this. I want to make sure you don't have any questions about that, but I've got to hit a break, so you and I will talk off the air. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, 800-525-7000. Call right now, and we'll be right back.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we've removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
This weekend on The Stan Radio, M.D. Perkins talks about America's changing attitudes towards so-called same-sex marriage and how churches can respond.
I think there's a lot of dangers for Christians in the years ahead, and we have to walk carefully, we have to be wise, but we also have to be clear about what the Bible really does say about this.
The Stan Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian Credit Counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian Credit Counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Rob West of Faith and Finance. I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often, yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Taking your calls and questions. Lines are filling up, but we've got room for a couple of additional questions at 800-525-7000. Before the break, we were talking to Jack in North Carolina. Jack is calling for some counsel on how to guide his daughter. Her husband is incarcerated. She has a good job, but has amassed a significant amount of credit card debt, about $20,000, paying about $8,000 a month, or excuse me, $800 a month, which is challenging. Her Jack and his wife are helping her parents, and just wanting to know the best approach to get out of this credit card debt once and for all. We were talking about credit counseling as my preferred solution to drop the interest rates, a payment of probably about 3% of the balance per month, but get it paid off 80% faster that way. Jack, any follow-up thoughts or questions on that, sir?
Well, as I was thinking about that while we're at break and wondering if my daughter's credit score has been compromised, and she had already previously tried to refinance her house to pay off her credit card debt and consolidate, and she found out that her credit score was not good enough to do that. Yeah. So how is that going to affect the credit card payoff, meaning that am I as a parent, am I going to have to sign to take that over, or will my daughter be able to do that on her own?
Yeah, very good. The credit score will not prevent her in any way from getting into credit counseling. Now, what impact will it have? Well, the fact that you're in a credit counseling program is not a part of the credit scoring algorithm. So her sliding into this program, and by the way, all this is going to be based on her credit report and credit file, because I'm assuming these cards are in her name only. It would pertain to you if you were also on the account as a joint holder or an authorized user. But if not, we're talking about just this related to her credit file. But it's not a part of the credit scoring algorithm. So her going into this program is not going to further decrease her score. The only potential change to her score will come by way of when she puts these cards into the program, they are temporarily closed while she's on the program. She can't charge new charges on them, any of them that you all decide to put into the program. And anytime you close a card, it does have a minor bearing on her credit score. But my main concern is that you all help her and that she gets out of debt once and for all, even if there was a very, minor decline in what is already a low score. But the fact that she has a low score doesn't have any bearing on whether she can use this program. And the key for her moving forward in terms of getting that score back up so she can refinance her house and have access to credit appropriately in the future is to get these balances down, because other than having a late payment, the biggest issue that is going to pull her score down, into the future is having a high credit utilization. So anytime your credit card balances are more than 30% of the limit, that's going to pull your score down. That's 30% of your credit score, that single factor. 35% is made up on whether or not you're an on-time payer. So if she can stay as an on-time payer, which in this program she would be, and she can get her credit card balances down, which is going to drop her credit utilization, that's going to do the most good for her credit score over time.
Amen. All right. Yeah. Sounds wonderful. And I just thank God that he's provided you, Rob, to be able to help us and instruct us in that way. And by the way, I am a pastor and have been a pastor for 22 years. So
wow.
I just want folks to know that we're not exempt from such things in life either. So thank you again so much.
Well, Jack, that's very kind. Thank you for your service to the Lord and for that testimony today and for your kind remarks. All the best to you and your daughter. Listen, if you believe she could be assisted by a counselor, we have a team of what we call certified Christian financial counselors. They've been trained. Their ministry is to serve God's people in the area of debt management and budgeting. If you feel like she would be willing to meet with somebody virtually for a series of meetings just to help her, you know, get on track with her budget and her spending plan, I'd be happy to provide that at no cost to you, Jack.
Well, I certainly would appreciate that, and I will highly recommend that to her.
Okay.
Just give me the method.
All right, very good. You stay on the line. Our team will get your information, and if you decide to take advantage of it, you let us know. We'll cover the cost. God bless you, sir. Thanks for being on the program today. To Louisiana. Hi, Stacy. How can we help?
Hi, how are you doing, Rob?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Praise be to the Lord. I was calling because I'm in a unique situation, a new situation.
Oh, Stacy, we're having a little trouble hearing you. Let's see if we can get you to a place with a better signal and get you to try again on that. Let's see if we've got you better now. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
I sure can. Sounds better. Go ahead.
Okay. Like I said, I am in a very new situation. I have $5,800 cash. I make $25,000. That's my net pay. That's my take home a year. And I have no credit card debt. I have no mortgage. I have nothing other than my rent and my monthly bills. So I guess I was trying to find out, how can I take this cash instead of just letting it sit in a savings account or anything like that, but I can invest it to start building a wealth for the future for me. I'm 52 years old. I'll be 53 on February 29th, well, 28th.
Okay, very good. Well, happy birthday to you a couple of weeks early. Let me ask you, at church, do they give you access to a retirement plan of any kind, Stacy?
No, I
okay.
do not.
No problem. So let's do this. I love the fact that you're debt-free. I love the fact that you have no car payment. You're living modestly on the income that you have. Sounds like you're living within your means, or else you'd tell me you have some credit card debt, and I'm not hearing that. So all that's great. Congratulations on managing God's money so well. And I love that you have the beginning of a savings account. The starting point for me would be what we call your emergency fund. And the goal there would be 3 to 6 months worth of expenses. So you'd want to have a minimum of 3 months worth of expenses in savings. And I'd use a high yield savings account at an online bank with FDIC insurance. So you're getting 4.5% a year. But that's going to be the reserve that you fall back on when the unexpected comes, and it will. And so until you get that to 3 months worth of savings, I'd keep putting away in that fund. Now, when we come back from the break, once you get there, we'll talk about how you invest for the future. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
In rural Malawi, baby Esther was taken in by her grandparents when her mother died. Resources were scarce, and Esther suffered from malnutrition for years until God transformed her life. Today, through Cross International, Esther receives nutritious meals, drinks clean water, and is taught about the hope found only in Jesus. But other children are still waiting. Make an eternal impact on a child now with a $62 gift at crossinternational.org/faith.
You can't sit this election out. I know a lot of Christians do. This is true that God is sovereign. I tell you that all the time. But they fancy that somehow that is separate from their personal responsibility. We are His hands and feet. And so that's why we have to do what's right. The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and just doesn't do it, to him it is sin.
Sandy Rios 24/7 with your host, Sandy Rios. Listen on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So glad you're with us today on Faith and Finance, right here on American Family Radio, helping you live out of a biblical worldview as it relates to this program in the area of financial decision-making. Yes, that's right. You and I are stewards of the King of Kings resources. We want to help you get that right each day. So what questions do you have in your financial life? You can call right now, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We have a few lines open. Before the break, we were talking to Stacy in Louisiana. Stacy's 52. She works full-time for her church. She doesn't have any investments. She's been able to put aside about $6,000 in savings. It's in a savings account at a bank. She has no debt, no car payment, no mortgage. She rents and just wants to know is the best way to invest for the future. And Stacy, I was saying objective number one really should be to get that $5,800 up to 3 months worth of expenses. Once you do that, I love the fact that you want to save for the future. And because you don't have access to a retirement plan at your church where you work, I'd recommend you start with what's called a Roth IRA, R-O-T-H, Roth. And you could put up to $8,000 in it because you're over the age of 50 for 2025. If you haven't filed your 2024 tax return, you can actually put a portion in for 2024, but you may not be ready for that since we're going to continue working on the emergency fund for the time being. So if you're past the time you filed your 2024 return, once you're ready to open the Roth and start contributing to it, then you would be able to put in up to $8,000 for the tax year 2025. And that would be after-tax money that you put in, so you don't get a deduction on it, but it's going to grow tax-free. And so let's say you start to, you know, pull that out, you know, in your late 60s, you know, or early 70s, you know, between 10 and 20 years from now, everything you put in that Roth and invest, all that growth, you're not going to pay any tax on it when you pull that money out. It comes out completely tax-free. So this could be that nest egg that you'll use alongside Social Security to be able to fund your lifestyle, either in this next season of life when you're unable to work or you maybe work part-time or something like that. Does that make sense?
It does. It does.
Okay.
And I guess I was just trying to see, I didn't want it to just be sitting there, you know, just sitting. And so I was trying to see how I can allow it to try to work for me a little bit.
Yeah. So for the emergency savings, the $5,800 and whatever you add to it, I'd recommend you consider one of the online banks. So, you know, for instance, you could check out our friends at Christian Community Credit Union. This would be a great credit union that you could set up the account online in just a couple of minutes. Many of our listeners have. You could link it to your checking, your bank where you have your checking account. And they have, for instance, their high yield savings account. They call it the Harvest High Yield Account. It's earning 5% on up to $5,000. So that would be a great option where you could, you know, get a much better return on the money while it's sitting there. And then if you ever need it, you can get to it just with a quick transfer over to your checking or, you know, from an ATM machine. The way to find that more about that is to go to joinchristiancommunity.com. Again, that's joinchristiancommunity.com. And that would be an example of one way, Stacy, for you to get that money working for you with a little better rate of return, but it's still, you know, insured and protected and safe, you know, while it's sitting there. Does that make sense?
It does. And I have one question. With the Roth IRA, should I be trying to put into that now as well as building the nest egg?
You certainly could. I mean, I wouldn't stop building the nest egg, but if you, now that you've got $6,000, if you wanted to start putting in, especially with your being able to contribute for last year until you file your return, yeah. I mean, if you've got a couple $100 a month to put away and you want to put $100 into your savings and $100 into the Roth, I think that would be great. In terms of setting up that Roth, I'd probably do that at Charles Schwab or Fidelity. And be real simple to open online, and you could do it in a few minutes, and then you just put some, you know, high quality mutual funds in there.
Oh, okay. I would do that.
Okay. You're welcome. A good place to get a list, if you got a pen handy, to get a list of the faith-based investing mutual funds. These are mutual funds that are all world-class, but they're only investing in companies that are aligned with Christian values. Just go to faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. That's faithandinvesting.com/faithfi, faithfi. And that'll give you a list of funds that you can put into that Roth. You can just choose from one of those on the list. Hey, thanks for calling, Stacy. Lord bless you. Let's go to New Jersey. Pedro, you've been waiting patiently. Go ahead.
How are you? God bless, Rob.
Thank you, sir.
I am calling you in reason if because I've been trying to open a Roth IRA. I get stuck in some of the questions they ask. I do not have a 401k. I don't have a pension, but I have that. I pay my house off. My house is paid off for about 10 years. Thank God for that. An emergency fund, I do have that. I had opened the CDs listening to you, but I've been stuck on the Roth IRA, and I don't know how to go about it.
Okay.
The questions they be asking me, it's like limited margin. We like to limit the margin. We like to add the option trading features. And last one, we like to enable this account for trading or think or swim. Something
okay.
like that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure about the last one. You definitely don't want margin, so that would be a no, and you don't want options, that would be a no. We're talking about just kind of plain vanilla investing here, and those are a little bit more sophisticated strategies. So what I would do is one of two options. One is you could open that Roth IRA without the margin and the options, and then you could use some of those faith-based investing mutual funds that I just mentioned to Stacy. Or you could use what's called a robo-advisor, which is a very simple kind of turnkey way to invest that uses the indexes. So you answer a series of questions. It decides what percent you want in bonds, what percent you want in stocks, what percent global and domestic. It makes all those decisions for you. And then it uses the market indexes to capture the broad moves of the stock and the bond market. But it's very low cost, and it's kind of all done for you. All you need to do is worry about making a monthly or a systematic investment, and then it does the rest. And the one that I would look at is the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. So you could go to the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios website, open a Roth, deposit some money in, and you'd be off to the races. If you want to use the faith-based investing funds I mentioned, then I would download that list that I just referred Stacy to.
That is perfect. That is perfect. Now, one more question. I'm 56 years old. Should I go with the traditional or the Roth?
Yeah, it's a good question. Do you have any other retirement accounts at all?
No, I don't.
Okay.
My wife do. Got to have a 401k, but not me.
Okay, good. Yeah, so if she's got the traditional 401k, then you've already got that pre-tax bucket growing with her account at work. So for you, because I kind of look at these as one, you know, one flesh, I mean, you're going to have, you know, these assets that you're going to have access to in retirement are going to be for both you and her. I would do the Roth for you, and that way you have the after-tax bucket growing. And then depending on the tax code and what's going on with tax rates, you know, 15 years down the road when you guys are thinking about starting to pull money out, then you could choose one or the other depending on which is the best for you. So I think with her having that 401k, I'd do the Roth for you. I think that'll be the best option. Pedro, thanks for your call today. Jim in Ohio, I think Jim has a comment on where we started today talking about the avian bird flu. We'll get his take on that. Plus your questions, 800-525-7000. Call right now.
Are you really worshiping God? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
So you can come to church and you can dress up nice and you can sing all the songs and you can stand up and you can clap and you can say praise the Lord. And people around you can say, oh, look how they love God next to me. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Learn how to fall in love with God and find real worship. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
If you want to be more like Jesus, are you prepared to live radically for Him? Next time on Focus on the Family, Greg Steer urges believers to step out of their comfort zone and become totally committed to living out the gospel every day. It's a practical, encouraging conversation next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. In just a moment, we'll talk to Bob Dahl. Bob is our market expert, our market guru, if you will. He joins us each week with his market commentary, and there's a lot moving the markets today, so looking forward to hearing what Bob has to say. But first, Jim's been waiting patiently in Ohio. Jim, I know you wanted to comment on one of the topics we discussed earlier in the program related to the avian flu. What do you have for us?
Hey, good morning. It's a little bit like when you're at a dinner party and then the conversation moves along and you bring up a topic from the first kind of place.
That's
We've
okay.
all been there.
Yes.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I am in industry that is fairly closely aligned with the poultry business in eastern Indiana, western Ohio. And, yeah, serious thing with the bird flu. Certainly, we all feel the egg prices, but it has really hit these producers as they've had to destroy flocks. One thing, though, I did want to clarify, the implication was that the prices we see now are because the birds that were killed in 2024 under the previous administration. There were around 20 million birds euthanized or died in 2024.
Yeah.
And in 2025, we're up to about 122 million.
Oh, wow.
So the bulk of the shortage of eggs is as this thing is reaching a crescendo, and I don't know where it's going, but it is still on the way up. It is very serious thing.
Wow. Yeah, that's I didn't realize that it was growing at that pace, and we're not anywhere near on top of it. It doesn't sound like at this point. And so Let's be praying for those producers as well as for this situation to resolve itself. But it sounds like you've got a front row seat to it. I appreciate you weighing in on it. Something we'll follow very closely. Thanks for getting in on the conversation today, Jim. We appreciate you listening. Bob Dahl is with us. He's CEO and CIO at Crossmark Global Investments. Bob, what do you make of that as we watch just what's going on in the poultry industry?
Yeah, it's as the speaker just said, it's pretty ominous given the size of things. Hopefully this too shall pass, but the tail on this is going to make eggs and a few other things a lot more expensive than they otherwise would be. And, you know, God and his economy knew what he was doing, but here we are suffering some of those consequences.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, Bob, a lot to talk about today. Let's start with the most recent data, and that's inflation, which I guess is why the market was selling off initially. It's recovered a bit since the open, but give us the headline data on consumer prices.
Yeah, prices at the producer level were higher than expected. January is a funny month, Rob, as you know. It's a lot of the next year sorts of things, and so January's numbers are sometimes a little less reliable than the rest of the year. Having said that, there are enough signs of inflation. Let's at least not going down. We could debate whether it's going back up or not, but we're sort of stuck at 3%+, nowhere near the Fed's target of 2%, and markets don't like that. As you point out, we were down 1% at the opening. We're only down a little more than 0.5% now. So markets have come back some, but inflation's a bugaboo for stocks and bonds. Let's hope we can get that fixed.
Yeah, and then on top of that, we've got a labor market that has been, you know, incredibly strong over the last couple of years, despite many expecting a recession, and yet we are seeing some weakening there as well, right?
Yeah, we are, Rob. We saw that in the monthly payroll number released last Friday. The expectation was 170,000. We got, I think, it was 143,000. Not horrible in that absolutely. It's a pretty good number, but behind the scenes, relative to expectation, the economy and jobs are slowing a bit from maybe too strong to more sustainable, and that could be good news for inflation if things continue to swell.
Yeah, obviously, all of that puts the Fed and the Treasury in somewhat of a precarious balancing act, right?
Yeah, it does. The Fed's between the proverbial rock and a hard place. They thought they were successful at fighting inflation, getting it down from, people forget, 9%, not that many years ago, down to, as I said, let's call it 3%. But you know, getting to 2%'s proving to be very treacherous. You heard me over the weeks. I don't think, absent a recession, we will get to 2%. So we're going to have to live with, the markets are going to have to live with, let's call it 3% inflation, which probably means some valuation adjustments. Stocks are expensive if inflation is going to settle in at 3%.
Yeah. Bob, anything new on the horizon here with regard to the tariffs? Obviously, the vice president is over in Europe, and there was a lot of smiles and shaking of hands, and yet others around the world are taking a harder line, at least in their narrative, with regard to how they might respond to Trump, especially in light of the latest tariffs talked about with steel. What thoughts do you have on that?
Yeah, it depends on the day. I hate to sound wishy-washy, but I am. I think that tariffs have lots of potential purposes. Are they economic in nature? Are they flexing a muscle nature? Are they geopolitical? Are they really punitive? Or are they trying to just get somebody to the table to come talk? We've had all of the above, even in less than 3 weeks that yeah. We've had a new president. So I think there's going to be a lot of volatility around that. Let's hope it calms down and we use tariffs for negotiation, not to penalize everybody, including Americans.
Yeah. Bob, let's finish with yesterday's press conference with Elon Musk and the president. It was quite the spectacle, but I'll tell you, you got to give him credit for answering the questions the way he did. There's been a lot of talk about transparency and, you know, taking those questions like they did, I think, helps to appease that. Anything you heard of note yesterday and what's your just kind of general take on the direction that's headed?
That it's going to continue, no question about it. Look, they feel, and that's probably right, they've been elected, among other things, to go through and audit the federal government. I mean, the business you work for, the business I work for, and everybody listening, you get audited from time to time, but not the government. It's been, you know, never. So to go through the line items and say, I think I found some ways. I mean, I read a report yesterday. They have found 30,000 people getting Social Security checks that aren't alive anymore. Wow. That's the kind of thing that will get exposed here, and some significant structural changes will take place. I hear a lot of criticism. I don't like the way he's doing it, and that might be legitimate, but we got to get on with it if we really want to stifle the massive increase in debt and interest expense in our country.
He seemed to double down yesterday, Bob, on this idea that they can get to $1 trillion in cuts and then make up the other trillion with the economy growing at 3 to 4%, I think he said, by way of deregulation and other pro-growth measures. What are your thoughts?
You know, I'd love to see it, but I think that's wishful thinking. I'll settle for a half a trillion on either side, totaling $1 trillion, as opposed to two, and I think that'd be really good news for America in the long term.
Very good. All right, Bob, looking forward to being with you next week. You and I and 3,000 financial advisors will be together to celebrate what God's doing in the Christian financial industry. What are your thoughts just on how faith-based investing is continuing to accelerate?
Oh, it's just amazing. I think back to even a year ago, how many more people are aware of it, how many more people are engaged with it and using it, trying to line up their portfolios with their faith. And what a wonderful thing to do, which I always say, we line up all the rest of our life. Why not our investments too? So it's growing, and appropriately.
Well, thank you for your leadership in that space, Bob. You and the team at Crossmark are doing yeoman's work, and we're grateful for you.
We're having a great time doing it.
God bless you, buddy.
Same.
That's Bob Dahl. He's CEO and CIO at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more and sign up for his weekly investment commentary, Dahl's Deliberations, crossmarkglobal.com. That's the place to go. Well, folks, we have covered a lot of ground today. By the way, this quarter, we are shining a light on a great ministry here at Faith and Finance. You know, we love the idea that managing God's money includes an opportunity to be generous, to give to our local churches, but beyond that, to be able to align our giving with the things that are on the heart of God, like proclaiming truth and influencing our culture for the sake of Christ, like American Family Association's doing, but also coming alongside those that are vulnerable or oppressed or poor. And that's what Cross International is doing. They work with local in-country ministries in places like Malawi and Uganda and Zambia to address the physical and spiritual poverty. We are so grateful for the work they're doing to provide life-saving resources like nutritious food and safe water, but also spiritual development. And by working with folks in country, they're able to make sure that it's sustainable and really lift up those that are doing the boots on the ground work alongside them. But I love the fact that in addition to meeting their physical needs, they're bringing the hope of Jesus as well to the poorest of the poor. And if you'd like to learn more or perhaps be a part of what they're doing, we would love for you to consider doing just that. You can be a part of the Thriving Kids Initiative when you go to crossinternational.org/faith. That's crossinternational.org/faith. Perhaps you've been blessed a bit more this year. You have a little extra and you'd like to put that to work. Well, for the price of a tank of gas or a meal at a restaurant, you can change the life of a child in extreme poverty. It's quick and simple to do. Just head to crossinternational.org/faith. Folks, I'm so thankful to come alongside you each day. Thank you for inviting us into your story, for allowing us to serve you and encourage you, and above all else, lift the name of Jesus high as we go into God's Word and uncover those truths, those principles, those passages that really speak to our role as stewards in managing God's money. It's an important calling we've been given, and our goal, well done, good and faithful servant. Let me say thanks to my team today. I certainly couldn't do this without them. The amazing Devin Patrick, my producer, Sandy Dickinson managing our phones so well, Jim Henry providing great research today, and the entire team here at FaithFi, just doing incredible work to reach more people to help them be wise and faithful stewards. If you'd like to learn more about what we do here at FaithFi, just head to our website, faithfi.com. Enjoy your day. Come back and join us tomorrow, Lord willing. We'll do it all over again. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.